This is AdSpeak from Adweek.
So I think the primary concern is they don't want to be sending a fee to a direct competitor if they're working at one of those other holdcos or an indie agency or wherever. And then maybe more importantly, they don't want to be sending data to a direct competitor.
Programmatic ad buying. You know it, you love it, you subsist on it, but you sure as hell can't see what goes on inside of it. Well, you know the drill. You put in that dollar and data to power your media plan, you put it down the hole to buy an ad, and somehow only 85 cents gets applied because there were so many bats in that dark cave taking little bites. It's a problem, but you know, by now, I guess you're okay with it. But what if one of your biggest competitors is also in the hole where you're sending that money and data, including information about who you're targeting? That's exactly what happened to a number of media buyers who told Adweek that over the past year and a half, they'd inadvertently transacted through Conversant, whoops, otherwise known as Epsilon's SSP, and that is owned by Publicis Group. Now, some of these buyers didn't immediately realize they were buying via Conversant because of the opacity of these supply chains. But whose fault is that really? Here with me to unpack the drama is Adweek's senior tech reporter, Kendra Barnett. Hey, Kendra.
Hey, Ryan. How's it going?
Oh, I'm all right. So before we get into the weeds, can you just explain to listeners how programmatic buying works and the role of a supply-side platform in that process?
Sure. I'm going to try to do my best to explain this concisely and clearly. A buyer has however many dollars they have to buy some inventory on a publisher site, and they can do that through a number of ways. One way is through direct deals where they skip the auction and go directly to a publisher and they agree to an upfront price, placement volume, which guarantee that ads will appear in specific places. Another way of doing it is through private marketplace deals, which is programmatic, but it's invite only. So publishers invite select advertisers to bid on their inventory. But probably the most common way of buying on the open web is through programmatic open exchange buying, which is an exchange where anyone with access can bid in real time for digital ad space. So advertisers would set, you know, targeting rules like audiences, device, geography, and then when a user loads a page, the highest bidder will win that impression instantly. So while that happens almost in real time, there are actually a lot of players in that ecosystem involved in making that transaction happen. So on the one side, obviously, the publisher is representing the inventory. And then to present that inventory to the buyer in open exchange buying, they'll use a supply side platform. So they work with these platforms that are a tool for putting that ad space up for auction and sending out basically requests for bids saying, we have this inventory. Anyone who wants to buy it can send us a bid. And there are also ad exchanges, which are marketplaces where the auction happens. And then closer to the buyer, there's the demand side platform. The demand side platform is the advertiser's tool for deciding which impressions to bid on and how much based on their data and their targeting. And then obviously there's the buyer with their whatever $5 to bid at the other side. So a lot of players in the ecosystem. And again, that happens in nearly real time.
Okay, so let's go to your story. You found that some buyers, including some of the biggest ad holding companies like WPP, IPG, Dentsu, and Havas, as well as some other advertising agencies, they were sending ad dollars and data straight to Publicis without realizing it. So how did that happen?
So that happened via Conversant, Epsilon/Publicis's SSP. And that happened because of a process called multi-hop inventory reselling. So we just went through the whole, you know, general supply chain, the publishers working with the SSP, the buyers working with the DSP to become connected. But within that ecosystem, there can be other intermediaries. There could be a handful, a whole chain basically of SSPs or exchanges. What happens is sometimes the same ad space is passed through several of those ad exchanges or SSPs before reaching the advertiser. Each hop in that supply chain, it's often referred to as a hop, adds another layer in the supply chain, which can make the path to the publisher less transparent and sometimes increase the cost since each of those middlemen are taking a cut and create a little bit of confusion sometimes about where the ad is actually running and who the buyer is paying in the process. So Conversant SSP, owned by Epsilon Publicis, is authorized to both buy resold inventory and to resell it to other SSPs or exchanges downstream of it. So that basically is a long-winded way of saying that sometimes a buyer might be going through one SSP, like a PubMatic, say, but above PubMatic, they can't see that there are other SSPs who have resold that inventory.
So it's not as simple as an advertiser buys ads through a DSP, which buys through an SSP, which, you know, eventually that gets to the publisher. It seems like an ad buyer uses a DSP to buy inventory, which maybe acquires it from an SSP, which might have acquired it from another SSP, which might have acquired it from another SSP, which might have acquired. You see the pattern
yeah,
here. And then eventually gets to the
public.
It's SSPs all the way down. And each of those SSPs are taking a cut, but there's not a lot of visibility into who all is in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's for a number of reasons, but probably most obviously because standard SSP reporting, like when a buyer gets a report about, you know, the transactions that they're doing, they will oftentimes only see that first SSP and not all the upstream.
You also spoke to Ariel Garcia, the COO of ad tech watchdog Check My Ads, and she added a bit more color to why buyers have limited visibility into their supply paths.
There are a lot of different reasons that buyers might have limited visibility into their supply paths. So in any given programmatic transaction, there are several intermediaries involved. There's the agency, the demand side platform, the exchanges, verification companies. Each may or may not offer full transparency to the buyer. So it's incredibly difficult for advertisers to get access to their own log level data still to this day, in many cases, as we keep seeing through the ANA's benchmarking work. And because everyone in the middle is paid on volume, like the more money that passes through their pipes, the more they get paid, there's kind of little incentive for the middlemen to provide full transparency to advertisers. Another reason is the dynamic of reselling. So, for example, in the open exchange, not every SSP is going to have a direct relationship with every publisher. So if an SSP wants to offer access to inventory that they don't have a direct relationship for, it might get that inventory from another exchange that does have that relationship. The other thing is that even when the industry does have standards that are supposed to give buyers transparency and control, we see that with OpenRTB, ads.txt, and sellers.json. The reality is that those are all best practice voluntary frameworks. They're not really enforced. So, for example, in OpenRTB, there's something called supply chain object. In theory, that should show where there are resellers involved so that for every given transaction, you'd be able to track the money across every entity that was paid in the course of that bid request. But what good is that if supply chain object is optional? And what good is it when an advertiser expects their agency to steward their campaigns and their agency has no real incentive to do so beyond the surface level?
So how did you find that these various buyers were transacting through Conversant? Like, what sort of sourcing or technical tools did you use to kind of uncover that information?
It took a good amount of time and a number of different resources. You know, I had conversations with various media buyers in the ecosystem who had found out that they were inadvertently buying resold inventory through Conversant over the last 18 months or so, and they were frustrated to learn that because that SSP is owned by Publicis. We also took a look at some real bid response data from a sample of specific ads that were served during about the same period. And we also had a look at some public data sources that help provide transparency into the supply chain, which include two files that are standard IAB Tech Lab formats. One is called ads.txt and one is called sellers.json. And ads.txt is a public text file for publishers to list authorized resellers of their digital ad inventory. And sellers.json is basically the equivalent for SSPs. And SSPs can represent, you know, who they work with and who are direct and intermediary partners in supply chains.
So basically, you kind of looked at the data, you looked at the ads.txt files, you looked at the sellers.json files, and that kind of revealed Conversant's place within this ecosystem.
Yeah, exactly. So you can see, for example, if I went to adweek.com and looked at our ads.txt file, I can see all of the SSPs that are authorized to do direct deals or authorized to do reselling on our website. Interestingly enough, I had a quick look and Conversant is listed on our ads.txt file as having a direct relationship, but authorized to resell Conversant inventory are AppNexus, OpenX, PubMatic, and a couple others. So kind of an interesting observation. Some of the buyers I spoke to eventually got a hold of some more granular reporting and were able to detect conversant within their supply paths, though they didn't know they were there previously in these reseller paths.
We described Epsilon as a reseller. Is reselling uncommon? Is it bad?
No, I don't think so. As we've been talking about, you know, supply paths can be very complicated. Some sample supply paths that I looked at for some publishers can be, have, you know, upwards of 10 hops in them. So lots and lots of resellers, you know, and a lot of big names are resellers of inventory, including Google's AdX, Yahoo, Freewheel, 33Across, LoopMe, Nexon, ShareThrough, lots and lots of SSPs buy resold inventory and sell downstream to other SSPs or exchanges. And it's not inherently bad, but, you know, due to the complexity of some supply paths, as we've been talking about, you know, it can be difficult to know exactly which hands the inventory passed through. And like I said, it can up the cost for the advertiser because each of those players are taking a cut.
So what's really at stake here? Because as we've kind of established, it is the buyer's responsibility to know who all is in the supply chain. And Publicis isn't doing anything altogether that unusual. So why are buyers so alarmed, really, about what's going on?
Well, one reason is that Conversant is the only SSP owned by an advertising holdco. None of the other big holdcos or network groups, which include WPP, Omnicom, IPG, Havas, Dentsu, S4, Stagwell, own a platform like this. And none of those players are representing both the buy side and the sell side in this way that Publicis is with Conversant. So I think the primary concern is they don't want to be sending a fee to a direct competitor if they're working at one of those other holdcos or an indie agency or wherever. And then maybe more importantly, they don't want to be sending data to a direct competitor. So, you know, when a buyer wins a bid on a given piece of ad inventory, it's standard for all SSPs or exchanges in the given supply path to have visibility into a set of data about the campaign and its target audiences. So I think the fear that some buyers expressed to me in the reporting that I did was, well, I didn't know that I was buying resold Conversant inventory. And when I did so, Conversant got to see these details about my campaign and the audiences I'm buying.
More after the break. So you mentioned the data that Publicis would be exposed to. How could a rival theoretically use it to gain an advantage?
So there's two streams of data happening in these real-time exchanges from the publisher side and the buy side. When an SSP like Conversant or any other SSP is representing ad inventory, it can see bid request data from the publisher side, which includes information about the actual inventory they're representing. That's like user demographics, location, browsing history, device type, page content, ad slot details. So it's a lot of information that helps advertisers decide if the impression is a good fit for their campaign and how much to bid on that impression. And then on the other side, you know, SSPs will also see responses coming in from DSPs who are bidding on behalf of advertisers. And the data that's in the bid response there includes details like the advertiser's bid price, the ad creative that's going to be displayed, and other parameters like the auction ID, targeting criteria, and deal ID. So taken together, the SSP is in a privileged position where it's able to see exactly the kinds of ad space and audiences that a given advertiser is targeting.
So, Kendra, isn't this what the DOJ was arguing in the ad tech antitrust case against Google?
Yeah, in some ways it is analogous. So the Department of Justice, in its big antitrust case against Google's ad tech business, which earlier this year resulted in a federal ruling that determined Google operated an illegal monopoly over ad exchanges and ad servers, not its entire ad tech stack, and we don't need to get into that. But in short, the government claimed in its initial complaint that, I'll just read a clip from their complaint to you, that auction data, including data concerning bidding, available impressions, and won impressions, enable ad tech products to improve their algorithms. And the DOJ also alleged that an ad tech provider that can see at scale who bids on inventory and at what prices can create bidding strategies that more reliably win future auctions for a similar inventory. So although that case is about antitrust and the conversation we're having, you know, we're not alleging that Publicis is operating an illegal monopoly of any kind. It's similar in that that logic could apply to any SSP or ad exchange running open exchange auctions, and that they get this advantage of seeing all of these data signals at once. And of course, as we've said, Epsilon SSP is not just any SSP because it's the only one that's owned by a major holdco.
And Ariel Garcia also talked about why buyers might be uncomfortable transacting on Epsilon.
Epsilon has both their ad exchange component and their core data brokering business, which makes the idea of advertisers inadvertently buying through their exchange a little bit more uncomfortable than it even might otherwise be. When someone's buying through the exchange, and this is any exchange, there's information that the exchange can glean about the audience and the bidding strategy of the advertiser. So an exchange like Epsilon can see what other advertisers are targeting, what they're bidding, what they're willing to pay, and what audiences are valuable to them. If a DSP passes audience segment IDs or suitability metadata, it's possible that Epsilon could map that back to its own data assets, effectively improving Publicis's data asset. Epsilon can also aggregate bidstream data from outside advertisers to understand demand curves, pricing, and strategies. And the thing is that Epsilon's privacy policies do seem to enable Publicis to leverage data from auction activity, including non-Publicis advertiser auction activity, to enhance targeting, build profiles or refine profiles, and intelligence across its services. So, you know, I would imagine that Publicis might say they have strict firewalls in place, and I'm not sure how one would go about verifying that, especially if you're not a client, right? But going off of their privacy policy alone, it doesn't seem like there's anything stopping them from using data for their own commercial purposes or those of their own actual agency clients. Obviously, for the advertisers that aren't Publicis clients, they wouldn't have the same type of contract that clarifies things like data ownership and permission. You know, when I was still agency side, I've had clients that were very sensitive to even any affiliates of the holding company servicing their competitors, right? We had to negotiate a process eventually to disclose potential conflicts and get exceptions. It required approval of vendors and contractors. There was all this process in place. So this type of thing would have been likely considered a clear conflict, a potential breach of confidentiality. If they had unknowingly transacted through another major agency's exchange, they would have been livid, and I'm almost certain procurement would have gotten involved. Not to mention, I'd imagine that part of why these holding companies might be upset is that they didn't intend to contribute money or data to their biggest competitor. But on that point, I frankly don't have much sympathy. Like, whether it was negligence or a product of backwards incentives, if they don't steward their clients' budgets, they don't get to complain when it hurts their own business as well.
Is Publicis actually using that data?
We don't have any evidence that they are using it in a strategic way or in a shady way. Our reporting was more generally about buyers' concerns. So the audience data is arguably the most valuable of all of those kinds of signals that the SSP is seeing. And I spoke with about a dozen programmatic experts outside of the buyers I spoke to, just to ask them, in theory, what kind of information could an SSP like Conversant glean about a given advertiser or an agency based on all of this data? And the general sentiment is, if you really wanted to, you could reverse engineer an entire advertising strategy. That would be a lot of work to do. And again, we don't have any evidence that that's happening, but it's theoretically possible.
Now, you spoke with buyers who discovered that this was happening. What was their reaction once they realized they had transacted through paths where Conversant was hanging out?
So I spoke with several buyers, and all of them have since blocked Conversant. One of those buyers blocked Conversant as part of a broader kind of effort to crack down on reseller traffic. They kind of want to do more direct deals or those private marketplace PMP deals. And then one eliminated Conversant out of their supply paths because they were worried about media quality and the types of media that Conversant represents. And three buyers that I spoke to specifically blocked Conversant because they don't want to be sending data or dollars to Publicis.
And so we spoke to a buyer who wanted to share their perspective, but wanted to remain anonymous, so we disguised their voice. Here's what they had to say.
Yeah, we realized we were buying some media through Conversant. Our next step was to go and find the settings in the DSP we were using to block them specifically as a reseller. In general, we tried to make sure we didn't have any resellers in our supply chain, but that one, because it seemed like it was coming through more than other resellers, we wanted to make sure we took explicit action to prevent any client dollars leaking to Publicis. As a competitive agency at Publicis, our concern was both the leakage of our campaign data to a competitive agency, as well as the funding of a competitive agency that's been seeing a lot of success in the marketplace by lowering their rates from what we understood. And we think part of that could be subsidized by this business that is taking money from other agencies and clients that Publicis isn't representing and then getting Publicis revenue that they can then compete against those agencies with.
So obviously, some buyers, including the one we just heard, blocked Conversant outright. What does that tell us, though, about how seriously they're taking this?
I think they're taking it really seriously. You know, there are a few things. Obviously, we've already discussed the concerns about sending information to a rival. They don't want to give their competitors any potential leg up. And then also, I think there's a more general industry concern about supply path complexity and, you know, the black box nature of programmatic buying.
I mean, do you think this is going to push more buyers? Because you mentioned this all happens sort of on the open exchange, which is a free-for-all and has been for a while. Do you think this is going to push more buyers towards more of those private marketplace deals or direct deals with publishers or no?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about, you know, the potential impact of our reporting, but it's certainly possible. You know, some buyers that I spoke to have already implemented like broader kind of company-wide efforts over the past few years to mitigate reselling, which I mentioned, in their supply chains kind of generally because they want to opt for more direct buys. And then in the industry more broadly over the past few years, there have been a number of concerted efforts to advance what's commonly referred to as supply path optimization or SPO. And that's really like taken off since header bidding was introduced in 2014. And header bidding is where a publisher would send out a bunch of ad impressions simultaneously to multiple SSPs and exchanges, which can improve yield, but creates this problem of like duplicating bids and complicates supply chain. So basically, since that practice gained a lot of traction in the market in the late 2010s, basically, there have been all these efforts from a lot of the biggest agencies, including Publicis, to do kind of implement new solutions for cutting down on resellers or, you know, providing greater transparency into supply chains. And then with the addition of tools like ads.txt and sellers.json files, we're getting kind of greater transparency. So I think that there's movement towards a better version of programmatic buying where there are potentially fewer hops in the supply chain and potentially just like more clarity into what's being bought where. But how that's going to evolve, I don't know.
It's been around for a while. I wonder why it's only now that people seem to be, I wouldn't say only now, but why people are still like, oh, we should really practice better SPO.
Yeah, I don't really have an answer for that. I think that so many publishers offer so many different paths to buy their inventory, and it's really, really hard to like determine the cleanest paths, basically.
So this situation with Epsilon hanging out in the supply chain, I mean, is this, well, you know, and people not knowing it, is this a one-off or is it like really a symptom of like deeper structural issues?
Probably the latter. There are so many resellers in the ecosystem. It's not just Conversant. And buyers need to, you know, invest in better solutions for SPO, basically, and knowing where their supply is coming from.
Our anonymous buyer weighed in on this one, too. Let's hear from them.
I agree with Publicis. I think all buyers should be actively monitoring their supply paths and understanding who the resellers they're working with are, if they are working with resellers, and understanding where their clients' dollars are going. All of that said, the ecosystem isn't built for that level of transparency. Not all DSPs provide reseller reporting. Not all SSPs are willing to engage in sharing logs with buyers so that they can see what fees those SSPs are taking on the inventory that's being purchased in a given transaction. So as much as there is an onus on the buy side to build the tools or partner with the companies that will help them have that transparency, the ecosystem is not actively trying to help those buyers and to provide easy ways to access that information. Well, I think we've allowed an ecosystem to flourish where intermediaries can create businesses without adding any actual value. It's very analogous to dropshippers on Amazon that will go and purchase things from overseas at a discount and then resell them to people on shore at a higher markup. That's exactly what programmatic resellers are doing. And so I think there's a lot more transparency on all levels that needs to be had so that everybody can understand the exact economics of what's happening in the marketplace and make informed decisions about how they want to transact.
I keep using Epsilon and Conversant interchangeably, and I'm sure I'm not supposed to do that, just for the record. It's just like Publicis, Epsilon, and Conversant. It's like there's three different companies here.
Yeah.
That's what happens with an ad tech when you just start acquiring and then the acquirers get acquired and then no one knows who owns what. It's like a Russian doll thing. How did Publicis react to all of this?
Yeah, it's been very intense, I would say. I think they have been, really trying to get us not to publish this story. And I think that one of the concerns that they have expressed to us is that they don't believe that they are gaining any competitive advantage by way of consuming any of this data or having access to this data via Conversant. And again, we don't have evidence that they are gaining any kind of competitive advantage. We just know that some buyers are concerned about that possibility.
Kendra Barnett, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So after we recorded, Publicis gave us the statement. Bid requests and responses carrying information necessary to deliver an ad are not a competitive advantage. This data is not logged or stored by Epsilon's SSP. Even if it were, it is not possible to use it to gain insight into a campaign strategy or targets. AdSpeak is a production of Adweek. Did you enjoy what you heard? Leave us a review, especially if it's a rave, or tell your friends to listen in. And remember to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to visit us at adweek.com for all of the latest on creativity, advertising, and technology, and how it all comes together to impact your life. And you can also drop us a note at adspeak@adweek.com. We're produced by Rococo Punch. I'm Ryan Joe, the editor-in-chief and your host, and thank you so much for listening.